From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, Facebook Live and Twitter Periscope. I am Sterling Holmes live in studio. Darren Smith decided to actually come in studio today.
Well, it's not often I come in studio, obviously, because we have the stuff to do it from our respective places. However, I had to come in because we have a special guest coming up later on today. Actually, in about less than 30 minutes, we'll be joined by the 2020 Gold Glove. Gold Medalist. I got to get that right. Gold Medalist. Miss Brianna Epperson. She's going to be joining us on the show. She's a young black girl who's a boxer, and I definitely want to talk with her about that. She just recently won the USA Boxing National Championships, and so congratulations to her. She'll be joining us in studio, so we'll get a chance to talk to her and ask her the age-old question. Why do you want to get hit in the head in boxing? So, look, I'm very much looking forward to it. I told my nieces because, you know, they love wrestling. They love contact sport because, you know, myself and their father, you know, we love mixed martial arts. We love wrestling. And so I told them, make sure you tune in so you can see somebody that looks like you. And, you know, because they're taking up martial arts and stuff like that. So they love the opportunity to see someone who looks just like them, that's doing something just like them or what they're trying to do. So, yeah, looking forward to having this conversation with her in just a little bit.
I thought that she was going to get the gloves on, and you were going to get the gloves on, and I'll referee.
Man, I'm not stupid. I don't know if you've seen that episode of Martin when he took on Thomas Hearns in a charity, and of course his face ended up expanding. I don't need this type of drama. I don't need that type of problems in my life right now.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get my ass kicked. I'm not. I'm like I know myself. I know
when
to
like
bow
out. If I'm in a fight, I'm calling her. I'm going to say, hey, Corey, I'm going to need you to bring your daughter out here.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to need some help.
I need some backup. You're at a bar. I need someone. Come on. I need someone here. Come here. Come kick someone for me. I can't do it myself.
Oh, man. So definitely looking forward to having it. That'll be coming up in our next segment when they come in studio. So, again, Brianna Epperson will be joining us in studio in just a little bit. But Sterling, first and foremost, we kind of had this conversation yesterday about Jadeveon Clowney, but today it is official. He did sign with the Cleveland Browns a 1-year deal worth upwards of $10 million. Your thoughts?
So this was the price range I thought he was going to be in. I said 8 to 11 yesterday. It came in at 10. This is what I thought. He was pursued by the Browns last year on a multi-year contract, turned it down for a 1-year $13 million with Tennessee. So it makes sense that after his injury, after his ACL, not going to be quite the AAV, not going to be the long-term contract, but the Browns still had interest. They want to see him alongside, next to Myles Garrett. I think it's a very good deal for the Browns. As long as he can stay healthy, say for even 12 games, I think it'd be worth it. Jadeveon Clowney, as much as the numbers don't pop out at you. We talked about it yesterday. The sacks don't seem to pop out at you. He's not getting paid like he's some top in rusher, but the underlying numbers are good. He's fifth in win rate as a pass rusher. That's good. That's saying he is causing issues. He's getting to the quarterback. He's just not the one wrapping up. He's the one causing pressures but not getting the sack.
What I do like about this, and especially for Jadeveon, is that even though it doesn't seem like a lot now, I'm thinking about this before taxes, but again,
like a lot to me.
He did $13 million last year. He could do $10 million this year. At least 2 years, you're looking at $23 million. I don't know what his lifestyle and, you know, how he spends his money, things like that. So it's not like he's going broke. Now, he's not resetting the market at all because, again, I know he says that he's hoping that teams, just like I said, he's going to hope that teams focus on Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Well, teams focus on J.J. Watt,
yes,
and you didn't shatter any records. And the best you did was 9.5 sacks. So the opportunity comes. You're going to be in a in Cleveland's defense that also features John Johnson. The safety, you got Tack McKinley on the other end of you, linebacker Anthony Walker, and then Troy Issel. The defense has been much improved from even last year, and they had a pretty good defense last year with Myles Garrett leading the way. Here's what's interesting. Jadeveon Clowney is going to be on a team that comes to Arrowhead later on this year. Yeah. So we'll get a chance to see up close and personal, you know, whether or not Jadeveon Clowney is that type of difference maker and what he can do on the other side of Myles Garrett. And you know, obviously when that time comes, we're going to hope that Kansas City will have that offensive line shored up and put all the pieces in place, because that is a game that's going to be marked on their calendar, Cleveland's calendar, because obviously, you know, they came to Kansas City and they lost in the playoffs. So they're going to be marking this game, and they're going to feel like they have something to prove when they come to Kansas City. So Kansas City, even though I know they won't, I know Andy Reid will have them ready for it, they cannot overlook this team when the time comes. They can't be, oh, it's just Cleveland, because it's not the same Cleveland that, you know, that we all know and love.
Yeah, it's not the same Cleveland. I do think it was interesting. He went out and said, I've been getting double teamed an awful lot in my career. Now I can finally play some one-on-one. I'm sitting here like you said,
dude, you play it with
JJ Watt. You were one-on-one a lot. And by the way, if you want to be someone who resets the market,
you need to be getting double teamed.
You need to be getting double teamed. And not only that, you need to be winning when double teamed. Aaron Donald.
Thank you.
I mean, dude is double and tripled more than anyone in the NFL, and guess what? He still produces. No excuses. He still gets it done. So, to me, I think that was a little bit of a, I don't want to say a cheap shot, but it seemed like a cheap shot at J.J. Watt, saying, I never really played with this. I'm the one being double-teamed. It's like, no, you weren't, Jadeveon. We can look back at the numbers.
Well, that's the thing. Not only the numbers, but there's film. I mean, that's why players like Shannon Sharpe and others get so upset at players like Jadeveon. Like, you know, you have the talent to technically reset the market and reset the position. Like, when you came out, they thought you were going to be the new Bruce Smith. I mean, they thought that you were going to be someone that, you know, would like you said, just redefine that position like Aaron Donald has, and you haven't. And so, I wasn't on the call. I don't cover the Browns, but, you know, I don't know if there was any real pushback to it or anything like that, some of his comments, because, yeah, that is a slap in the face to J.J. Watt. But, again, when they brought you in, it should have been you getting double-teamed to hopefully extend J.J. Watt's playing career down in Houston. You know, had you lived up to the hype – first of all, had you lived up to your billing, you wouldn't have gone to Seattle, you wouldn't have gone to Tennessee, and you wouldn't be in Cleveland right now.
Yeah. And, I think it's a good deal for Jadeveon. $10 million, I think, is a very fair deal, fair amount of money for a guy coming off a knee injury that ended his career, not his career, ended his season after not really getting the numbers that he wanted to do in Seattle. So, to me, I think it's good for Jadeveon. If you're the Browns, you are buying somewhat low. It's only a one-year deal. If he ends up not bouncing back.
No,
I get it. It's a one-year deal. So if he doesn't bounce back, all right, that's fine. He's not your main piece on your D-line. You're not going into the season, if you're the Browns, counting on Jadeveon to all of a sudden put up massive numbers. If he does, great. If he doesn't, you go, all right, we got Tack McKinley and we have Myles Garrett. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll be fine.
Yeah, because they were obviously fine without him. I think he makes the team better. I think he makes the defense better. But a lot of it is going to be whether or not he can stay healthy, and, you know, I don't know whether or not he starts or whether or not he falls into a rotation, you know, depending on the number of snaps. But, you know, if Jadeveon Clowney is anywhere near the top of his potential, then Cleveland is going to be a team to reckon with, and a team that can come to Kansas City and beat Kansas City if the Chiefs aren't careful.
Yeah, if his offensive line was the one that showed up in the Super Bowl, then yeah. You know, anyone is going to put pressure there.
Well, that too, but also, you know, you look at what Cleveland can score points. Now, I don't know whether or not between now and then, whether or not they move on from
OBJ.
From OBJ. Now, if Odell Beckham somehow sticks around, you know, fine. Baker Mayfield played. You could tell the difference between when Baker Mayfield had him on the field and when he didn't. When he didn't have him on the field, he didn't feel pressure to get the ball to him and try to, you know, get a number of reps. So when he wasn't on the field, he was able to spread the ball around. Everybody just played their role, played their position. I don't know whether or not this will continue to happen if he's there, but that's the one area. If Cleveland improves, you know, and we'll talk about in just a second about, you know, practices and training and stuff like that. If they can improve in that manner, the relationship or the camaraderie between Baker and Odell on the field, they're fine off the field. But on the field, if he can get synced in with the rest of that offense, that would be a team that would be dangerous.
Well, I would have them – I already have them currently over the Pittsburgh Steelers because I don't like Big Ben. I don't think he has anything left in his arm. I think losing their offensive guys, they're just not what they once was or what they once were.
I don't put them above Baltimore, but
– not yet. But yeah. If OBJ and Baker get on that same connection like you're saying, I might. I might do that because I actually like the explosive nature of their wide receivers more so than the Ravens.
I'm with you on the offense side, but the thing is, I got to see them in the first game defensively because Baltimore, they're more steady on the defensive side to where I'm not as concerned offensively yet. Look, we know it revolves around Lamar Jackson, but you know if their offensive line is intact, they can still run the ball. And at the end of the day, some games, some teams, the running game does matter.
The running scheme still matters, so yes. I'll agree there. It's the same reason why it worked for Shanahan and the 49ers was they had such a good zone run scheme set up. You could put anyone back there, and they were going to pick up yards. So
yeah, and see, thinking about Shanahan now, we'll get more into, I guess we'll get closer to it as we get to the draft because I do want to ask where a lot of people are saying that the 49ers kind of hold sway to where the draft may go, depending on who they pick at number three. There are thoughts that they might go after Justin Fields, they might go after Mac Jones.
Trey Lance has been name dropped. I mean, there's been a lot of guys.
Yeah, so
three.
so not to switch right off, but I do got to ask you that. So looking at that, which direction do you think the 49ers go? Because there will be a ripple effect because there is talk. If you look at what's the guy from ESPN with his
Mel Kiper, probably.
Mel Kiper, yeah, because I saw his thing on First Take yesterday where he had the Patriots trading up to get Justin Fields, I think at number four. And so, just you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because they're talking about him at number four. I think the Falcons or someone dropping to number six and getting Kyle Pitts, and then so.
It's just to me. It's Trevor Lawrence, and then it's going to be who do guys fall in love with? I think it's Trevor Lawrence number one. I think it's been Zach Wilson. Teams are falling in love with him at number two.
That's the one from North Dakota State, right?
No, that's Trey Lance. Okay. He's from BYU.
BYU. Okay.
So he's at BYU. Those are seemingly the one and two now. That's just what it's looking like. At that point, it's do you go with Justin Fields? Do you go with Mac Jones, who won at Alabama, but do you trust that he can do it in the NFL since he was clearly playing with better players than every other team?
Hold on now. Trevor Lawrence won a national title, too, with better players. So,
But Trevor Lawrence jumped off the tape. He was throwing deep. Mac Jones was trusted to throw the ball to checkdowns. Mac Jones wasn't given the offensive array to be his himself like the way Trevor Lawrence was. Trevor Lawrence was the offense for Alabama. Was Mac Jones, just don't screw up.
Man, that's fair, but to say that Trevor Lawrence was the offense, I mean, he had first-round draft picks at wide receiver. I mean, he had the same type of weapons that the Tua Tagovailoa had, you know, because you got to remember, you know, when people are talking about, well, this quarterback, he only did it because he had this talent. Well, don't forget that talent made the quarterback look good because when you put that quarterback on Cincinnati or Jacksonville, as we'll see whether or not that talent from the quarterback can elevate everyone else. So I say that to say, you know, I'm with you, but I trust Justin Fields more than I do Mac Jones.
Sure, I do too.
And who
Zach Wilson. Zach,
I trust him after Trevor Lawrence.
I would go Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and then I would probably go
Why Zach Wilson?
Just from what I've seen in the tape, his arm strength just looks much – it just comes off. When you watch him, it looks different. it just looks different. The way his arm strength is looks different. I would have Justin Fields over Mac Jones in a heartbeat. I don't think Mac Jones is going to be anywhere near an NFL quarterback. I think he's going to be like A.J. McCarron.
I'd have Justin Fields over Zach Wilson from one BYU. I look at the level of competition first and foremost. So that's one.
Well, I mean, Patrick Mahomes played at Texas Tech, and he wasn't playing Alabama or LSU consistently.
He played in the Big 12. That's not that.
No, but my point is, it's not Michigan. It's not Ohio State. Ohio State has not had a history of great quarterbacks coming out of there. Ohio State's not had a very good history of NFL quarterbacks coming out of there. Alabama. Not a very good history. Tua's been maybe the best one of the past, I don't even know how many years, and Tua still has a lot of question marks.
From BYU, only one I can think of is Steve Young.
He was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, but that was 20, 30
no,
years
I know,
ago.
But
so they don't have a history.
Quarterback sometimes seems to be a position where it's not always the Power Five or the big dudes coming out and making a name.
Well, again,
Justin Herbert was Oregon, but I mean, Oregon's been good. But when you think of power football schools, do you think of Oregon?
No, but what I was about to say was that with Justin Fields, Justin Fields was in the same class with Trevor Lawrence coming out of high school. They were number one, number two coming out of high school. So Justin Fields has a pedigree and has a track record. Now, whatever happened down in Georgia where he was playing and then he ended up transferring, you know.
Yeah, that was a whole bunch of.
Yeah, so that you know, but again, you know, he went to Ohio State. When they faced up head up with Trevor Lawrence and Clemson, they beat him. So again, competition, like I said, matters. He played well his sophomore year. Played well his junior. Granted, all things being equal, with COVID, you know, I think he had six touchdowns and no interceptions. So, I mean, so he can play. He can throw the ball. He can definitely, you know, go through his reads and stuff like that. For me, I go Trevor Lawrence and I go Fields, and you know, you can have the rest. We just disagree on that.
Sure.
But
I think we all agree that's probably 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Now, the kid they're talking about, like you said, what's the kid from?
Trey Lance. North Dakota State.
Now, they were showing some highlights of him on Undisputed today, where, you know, he was collecting bodies. On
Dude,
the football.
It, I mean, it, I know it's North Dakota State, but it's one of those things where you're like, holy bleep, this is crazy.
It's funny because, you know, we're set at quarterback for the next 30 years. You know, I think Patrick and then I think his daughter Sterling might be the first female quarterback in the NFL if he had this choice. But in all seriousness, I mean, the film on him looks pretty good, and Mac Jones is looks pretty good as well. And so, I mean,
I would take Trey Lance over Mac Jones. I'm telling you right now, Mac Jones would be the last of this group of guys I would draft.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's all going to be dependent on who drafts them, where they're located. You know, because you might be in a good situation if you get drafted to San Francisco. You might be in a great situation if New England trades up and drafts you as their quarterback. In New England. So, I mean, you know, you have options. You have things that you can, you know, you can kind of live with and deal with. But I don't know. It just depends on where they end up at.
So, like Trey Lance, for example, 2020 COVID season,
yeah.
he was hurt, didn't play. He played in, I think it was one game, and he was hurt. He got hurt in it. The year before, 28 touchdowns, no interceptions, and this dude runs a 4.5. I mean, 28 touchdowns, no interceptions. I don't care the competition. Like, it's
28 touchdowns.
No interceptions. That means not only are you threading the ball deep down the field, scoring touchdowns, you're not putting the ball in harm's way.
And didn't they win a national title?
That I don't know. He completed 67% of his passes.
I'm pretty sure that they did. I think they won a national title by doing that. So, no, that's, again, any of these quarterbacks, I think, will be good. I'm not saying they're going to be great, but I think that they'll be respectable starters in the NFL. The only issue is going to be where they end up at. Again, Trevor Lawrence is going to be in Jacksonville. Granted, Jacksonville had $100 million underneath the salary cap, so they were able to sign players, but meshing all that together is still going to be, it's still in the course, you know, the learning curve coming in, from college to pros is going to be important to see where, you know, how he does. The New York Jets, Zach Wilson, and you end up there. No guarantee you're going to be successful there because
Sam Darnold was supposed to be the stud guy, and that didn't happen.
In San Francisco, you don't have to. I mean, unless they feel like
that's the best spot to be in. San Fran of the top three spots. If you're going to be a quarterback and you're going to go Jacksonville Jets or San Fran, where San Fran's they already got guys you can throw the ball to. They have a good defense, good head coach.
I don't know. I think Trevor Lawrence in the state and the tax-free state down is going to be okay too.
I'm with you.
What he's got. But here's the thing. Urban Meyer, knowing the cap situation, I mean, they have knowing the direction they were going to go at quarterback.
Yeah.
And knowing the type of offense that they're going to install and run with him leading the way, they at least were out there signing players that would fit that system and mesh with them. And then also what you do when you get a quarterback like that on a rookie deal, you stack up the defense.
They did it with Blake Bortles. That's exactly what they did with Blake Bortles.
And so I actually do like the fact that he's going to be in Jacksonville. And I'm not – they're not going to have the worst record in the NFL this year. That much I will say. I'm not going to say they're going to be a playoff team, 500, but they would be much more vastly improved than what they were last year, Sterling.
I would say right around 4 wins, maybe. 4 to 5. 5 would be my cap. I don't see them winning more than 5.
I got to see the calendar and the schedule when it comes out in May. I just can't. I don't do wins or losses just yet until I see how the NFL, puts the schedule out, because that's going to be key.
So does this mean Gardner Minshew is now the mentor for Trevor Lawrence? That much hair on the roster is going to be fantastic. Gardner Minshew's mullet combined with Trevor Lawrence's flowing locks.
Trevor Lawrence, his nickname is Sunshine. So
you got Sunshine. You got Gardner. Gardner Minshew's dad's name is Flint, which is a pretty cool name. I mean, I'm not surprised by this, but by the way, Gardner Minshew did a pretty good job when he was given the ball. I think he earned himself a backup role for a while in the NFL.
He was a six-round
draft
starter.
Six-round draft pick. It's just funny. That's going to be a lot of hair on that starting quarterback
side. Somebody's going to get their locks cut.
There can only be one dude with hair that long.
It was going to be the starting quarterback. So before we get out of here, Sterling, for this break, before we bring Brianna in the next segment, the NFL, there are some players that have, or there are some teams whose players have opted out of the voluntary. And again, it is technically voluntary, so you don't have to come. But they're making a big deal about it. I think the Buffalo Bills,
the Broncos,
the Tampa Bay, the Denver Broncos, Tampa Bay, and I think even the Detroit Lions have announced that they won't attend voluntary off-season workouts. Now, the NFL Players Association, they are not telling their players to not attend, like, mandatory stuff. I think it's the voluntary stuff again. Yeah. But if you have it in your contract for you to show up, and obviously you get bonus money, stuff like that, then they're not going to tell you not to show up, because they want their players to make their money.
Sure.
I meant to reach out to the Kansas City Chiefs today, and I just hadn't, just because I was driving, having some vehicle issues.
Car issues?
I know, right? to see whether or not, the players had decided, because it seems like all this stuff is happening in kind of a slow domino effect, where I think now we got 4 or 5 teams that have said that they're not going to do it, that they're not going to. So I think the Lions will make it 4 teams right now that they are not going to participate in voluntary in-person off-season workouts.
Well, what's funny is I think teams saw what happened last year, and the production and the product was still just as good last year as it has been in the past, right? There wasn't a drop-off that people were probably expecting. There's going to be a drop-off because they didn't have these OTAs. They didn't have these voluntary workouts. And players are like, we've been saying we don't need this. It just looks good. You're just keeping us here, and we're going through it. There's Zoom now. Most of these voluntary workouts, you're not in pads. You're not hitting each other. These guys want to have a longer vacation. They want to sit there with their families. They want to be there. They don't want to fly to Kansas City if you live in L.A. Come out here, and you're just sitting there going, all right, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I can work up myself. If either you have to trust the players or you don't trust the players. And I get where people are coming from, like, oh, you're getting paid this much money. You should do everything you possibly can. They are, though. Just because they're not here doesn't mean they're not working and trying to get better. That just means they have more time outside of their job to hang with their family.
You know what's interesting is that, and I was sitting there thinking about it, like, a lot of the players do actually live and stick around Kansas City. Yeah. Like, I know Patrick has a place back home, but it's like, they stick around here. And I'm like, man, you know, you could be at a lot more of the places right now. Now, granted, COVID, kind of has.
Well, and Gates Barbecue. I mean, come on now.
Come on now. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, when you look at the places that they can be and they decide to stick around Kansas City, that says a lot about Kansas City. Maybe they enjoyed some Royals baseball. The Royals won 3-2 last night. I wish they'd have done that two nights ago.
But. Plus, your money goes farther here. I mean, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're $1 million in KC area compared to $1 million in L.A., sure, they have the weather, but.
Yeah, it's still L.A., though, so it's still, got a lot more options than Los Angeles.
I get it, but my point is.
I know the taxes, but yeah.
I'm not paying those taxes. Dude, you could not get me to live in L.A. That traffic alone would drive me insane.
You know what? See, I'm not going to lie. If I lived in L.A., I'd have to be paid like Skip Bayless.
Dude, I would be a bum.
Where I can live 5 minutes away from the station.
I would be a bum. I would live on the beach. I would lay there. Not L.A. I'd have to go south. I'd go to like Encinitas. I live in a beach town and just chill on the beach.
You could be Mel Gibson. I mean, Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon, living in a trailer on the beach?
Yeah, I will do that.
I could do that, too.
And I'll look like Gardner Minshew, too. I'll have the little Fu Manchu.
I would do that as long as I got running water, shower. Oh, I would definitely do that.
Dude, we could do this. I mean, that's.
Well, you got the money, so I just bum off of you.
No, I got the mustache. I'll grow the mustache out, and then we'll come up with like some Lethal Weapon stuff.
That'll work. Look, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll be joined by Brianna Epperson right here on Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 15:10 a.m. With us now live in studio, a couple of very special guests. They are Facebook friends of mine. Well, he is. She's not on Facebook. No. Yeah, smart man. We're joined right now. And for those of you all who are watching on Facebook, I'll turn my camera around and introduce you to the champ, Miss Brianna Epperson. She is the 2020 Gold Glove medalist for USA Boxing and winning the national championship just a couple of weeks ago, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no.
Yes.
But first of all, thank you so very much. And Corey, before I get to you, Brianna, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Brianna Epperson. I am 12 years old, and I just won the national junior national championships for USA Boxing, and my dad is my coach, Courtney Epperson, and that's about it.
Now, I've got to ask you, and we were talking about this right before when we were coming on the air, what makes, and I ask this for any boxer, but what makes an individual want to get punched in the face?
Well, the thing is, you don't. You try not to. Yeah, it's all about being slick, and you got to move your head, and, it'll be very, very easy.
But why boxing? And look, I'm not, Corey understands where I'm coming from. Obviously, boxing is more, you think more of Mel Dominic, obviously, Layla Ali and stuff like that. But why boxing over maybe softball, basketball, if you do those sports and so, but why did boxing stand out for you?
I don't know. I've always loved boxing. Boxing has been my entire life. I mean, it's just, I've dedicated my life, and so there's really no turning back now.
Now, Corey, I got to ask you, now, how much of her came from you watching all these Mike Tyson and Floyd Mayweather fights and, daughter wants to sit down there with you and watch it with you?
We probably, because of my love for boxing, and when she was young, me training her in self-defense. That's how it started.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 years old, just teaching her, how to defend herself. We tell the story that it just turned into, one day she was just like, well, am I ever going to get to go, box anybody else or spar anybody else? And I'm telling you, Darren, I was nervous about that, like, whoa, do you? You what? you want to do what? And she was like, I just, can we go spar anybody else and box anybody else? So we went down to the boxing gym and I was as nervous as you can be. You know, my baby girl is in there, but she did well from day one.
John.
Well, you've already lasted longer than my boxing career. I was 4 years old. I was watching boxing on TV. I tried to apparently box the TV, hit it. TV fell on me, cut my eye open. So my parents right there said, nah, 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 kid, you're playing basketball and baseball. You're getting nowhere near it. What kind of mentality do you have when you actually get in there? What's your mentality?
You got to stick with your game plan. That's it. You just got to stick with the game plan. You got to execute it. You can't, you know, just doze out, because you do that, you're done for. You just got to keep your mind strong. It's a mental game.
Corey, I want to ask you, so when you were getting her started, I mean, so let's say this. I have three nieces. They all love wrestling because, you know, me and my brother, we grew up watching it, and they watch it all the time. Like, we were all watching WrestleMania this past weekend. They're taking up self-defense as well, as you mentioned. Now, whether or not they translate that to a physical-type sport, we don't know just yet. But when was it hard to find people for her to spar with? I mean, because obviously we don't see it too often, but who does she spar with when she's in the gym practicing or working out?
98% of the time she has to spar with boys. It's just not a lot of girls out here. Most of the boys are her age, but sometimes we gotta get in there with somebody who's a little older. You know, she can handle it. She's, like I said, since day one, that might have been the only day I've been nervous about her getting in the ring, and I'm serious. Like, she does well.
Brianna Epperson, she is the gold medalist USA Boxing National Championship. Your first fight that you had,
mm-hmm.
How nervous were you?
Very, very nervous. I was so nervous. I can't even explain how nervous I was. I got butterflies. But the thing is, when I stepped into the ring, the butterflies immediately went away. Like, I knew that's where I belonged.
It was more nervous, you or your dad? The first, you? Oh, they both said each other.
It might have been me. Honestly, it might have been me. You know.
So talk to us about, look, you were the state silver gloves champion 2018, the regional silver gloves champion as well, the silver medalist at the national silver gloves. And so these fights that you're having, I'm presuming you're having them with other girls, or you're having them with the guys, or how's that?
No, it's the girls. When it's competition time, they can only fight girls.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So some of the competition that you're facing, I mean, do you get nervous when you get in there? Or, I mean, so how do you size up your opponent to think, okay, this is how I'm going to take them on?
Film study. All the time. My dad, that's all he does, really, is film study, and we just do it in slow motion. It's just, you got to pick it apart. You got to see where their weak spots are, and you exploit them. That's the only way you can do it.
Got to ask you, Corey. Oh, go ahead.
You know, I'm saying, no, I was just add to that, is if I can find video on them, I'll find video on them.
I was going to ask you that. But yeah. Who do you see your training? So who, if you could mimic or if you do, How do you pattern yourself after as a coach manager? Mickey from the Rocky movie.
Look,
y'all laughing, but man, growing up, you know, I'm thinking, hey, right. I hit Eye of the Tiger, and I feel like I can do anything.
You're right, you ready to go.
Like,
you know,
eat a cheesesteak and you're good.
So you know, people might think it's funny, but no, but I'm just saying, you know, you just don't roll out to bed to do this. You know, like you said, you're finding film and stuff for her to try to watch, but you know, but you have to take after something to, you know, okay, so this I may pattern, because movie or not, or real life, it worked for these people or whatever. So who do you pattern yourself after to?
Any coach or manager that I can find who has a mentality of a hit and not get hit style. Mm.
Floyd Mayweather.
I was thinking the same thing.
The Mayweathers. You know, you can learn a lot from them. A lot of people don't like them, but it's the sport of boxing. He's the top dog.
And especially when you say that, you know, you don't want to get hit in the face. He has not taken that many shots to the face, because he's such a great defensive fighter. Like you said, he can hit without being hit, and he's right. So fast that you know you don't see punches coming.
Right.
So.
We were talking just the other day about Floyd, and it just hit me. I said, man, that man had 52 fights now. maybe 52, and has never been down from a punch. That's unheard of.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess he hasn't.
Never been down from a punch.
Nah. Now, I remember Shane Mosley hit him. He rocked him.
Yeah, he rocked him. Oh, he's been rocked a few times.
He rocked him. He hit him. He hit him.
Chop Chop Corley got him, too. You know, he's been rocked a few times, but never sat down.
He's never been on the ground. They haven't taken a knee, I don't think.
He took against Jesus Chavez. He hit my man in the head and hurt his hand, so he went down and touched the canvas. So they called that a knockdown, but it wasn't really a knockdown.
I remember that story.
Yeah. Yep.
Who is someone that you look up to, or do you feel yourself as a trailblazer and you do things your own way?
I would definitely say Floyd Mayweather. You know, Floyd Mayweather, he is, like, it's, I don't know.
He's never lost.
He admire him in the ring, maybe not outside of it, but in the ring.
Right.
Yeah.
So boxing.
I want to ask you, what other special talents, because I read up on you, you're a pretty good ballerina person, am I correct on that? Or ballet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you get into that? And how does your footwork translate with the ballet? You know, with the ballet. Yeah.
So ballet definitely helps with footwork and boxing. I mean, you got to stay light on your feet. Ballet and boxing. Boxing definitely, because you got to stay light on your feet because you're not trying to get hit at all. Like my dad was saying, it's a hit and not get hit. But ballet, I got started with ballet when I was real young. I was, you know, just out and about, and I saw these ballerinas dancing, and I was like, I just want to do that. And so my parents got me into ballet, and I've just been in love with it since. So.
So boxing and ballet, that's all. Yeah. No basketball.
No.
No track. No.
We were thinking about doing track, but boxing, ballet.
It's a time management thing at this point.
Yeah, that is true.
How often
are you in the gym? So what's a workout period in between fights and stuff that you are doing? And how often do you box?
Pretty much 6 days a week. 6 days a week, a few hours a day, multiple times a day, 2 to 3 times a day. It just depends. If 2-3 days a week building up to a fight, then we bring it down just a little bit to two. Then we break it down even more, just like a few days before the fight, then just do one a day, and then just chill out. Then that's when we're ready.
And then how strict are you, Corey, when it comes to her diet and stuff like that, making sure she's able to make weight and stuff like that?
Pre-fight? I mean, we eat pretty clean anyway. We try to. They try to.
I try to too. Then I go by Gates and all hell.
Right, it's all over. Yeah, well, I mean, but on the regular, we eat pretty clean. Pre-fight, we pretty strict. She can eat. I'm not the coach that says I don't even condone starving yourself before a fight, because there's a way you can cut weight and do it the right way, and be on weight. So. She'll eat 3 or 4 times a day, just the right kind of calories, the right kind of food, where she can go run and the body will use it immediately. And she's on weight. She's never missed weight except last year, Nationals. We weighed in a pound over.
Ooh.
Man.
That was stressful.
You talking about being stressed out. Man, she had to go get a trash bag. Old school.
Oh, I know trash bag. I sweat.
Trash bag and ran around the block and came back.
We did that at Central.
We made weight. And so, but that was probably the only time we ever really stressed on it. She's a disciplined child. I mean, she knows what she wants. So she's starting to understand at 12. Especially with winning this Nationals, if I sacrifice this now, I can get rewarded then.
And Estrella, let me tell you something. She was rewarded Saturday because I happened to be at Gates Barbecue taking my brother out for his birthday.
Yeah.
And I walked and I was like, hold on, wait a second. I was like, hold on, Brianna. I was like, hold on, champ. And I think you were with your
mom.
She was with her mom. I said, you're supposed to be on my show this week. Dad, yeah. Okay, yeah. So hey, we'll link up and have you on. So it was great meeting you there. But still, I know you had a question.
So you've already done all of this already. What's the next step? What is your goal?
My goal for 2028 is the Olympics. The Olympics is what I'm going for. That's what I need. That's what I want. And I I've dedicated this whole boxing thing just for that. Like, that's what I want.
2028, you said? So, was that 7 years? That's seven awesome. Years. You'll be 19?
19, 20, yeah.
That'll be awesome.
And what are you doing in preparation of that?
Work every day. She's, I mean, there's
Mayweather the thing. Hard work.
Hard work. Dedication. I mean, as long as she shows me that she's serious about it, I'm with it. You know, up until this point, she's shown me, especially with winning nationals, she's shown me that she meant what she said when she wanted to win. I mean, when she wanted to go to the Olympics in 2028.
I got to ask you, because I know my nieces are watching, but for those, you know, for those who might be inspired to follow in your footsteps, talk about truly the sacrifices that you have to make personally. I know you're only 12 years old, but sacrifices that you feel like you've had to make to be where you're at and to continue to get to where you want to get to.
Sacrifices is a lot. You know, I'm homeschooled, so I don't really get to do all those school type stuff. I am hard trying to keep up with the school programs, and I'm trying to, you know, do all this ballet stuff, boxing stuff, trying to balance that all out. Trying to stay healthy in between all of that. And so it's a lot. It's a lot, but, you know, it just feels easy for me because it's what I love to do. It's always been what I've loved to do. So it doesn't feel, for any other person, it would look like it's a lot. But for me, it's easy.
If you don't mind me asking, what's like the, if, I guess if you've had an injury, what's the worst you've had thus far?
So just recently, I mean, it started end of 2018, beginning of 2019, I had a sprained wrist, on my right wrist, and I've just been kind of nursing it, you know, because it still pops up here and there, and I mean, it's not really, but I don't, because it almost interfered with, nationals, but, I mean.
Yeah, she hid it from me. Because she knows that I'm safety first.
Yeah.
Like, we're going into a fight. I need to know all your injuries. I need to know what's going on. So she kind of hid it from me. And then we were working pads, and I'm like, you're not throwing that right hand.
Right.
You know, what's going on? But we went and got it checked out. No broken bones. They just were like, you know, she's gonna have to chill out for a while, you know, in order for it to get back to regular.
Because you got 7 years. I mean, you have a goal of 7 years away. You don't want to do anything now to jeopardize the end goal.
I can't hear you.
Maybe
that's probably
maybe give me some background here. When it comes to boxing, what are some other next steps you take before the Olympics? Like, for example, Mizzou has, like, wrestling. You know, that Mizzou at colleges, they have great wrestling programs. Are there any boxing programs like that?
Actually, I'm not sure. That would be a good question for my dad, though. I'm not.
Are there boxing programs at some of the major universities or anything like that?
Yeah. I don't know which ones exactly, but yeah, because you can get, if you go on the USA Boxing websites, you can get scholarships to colleges for boxing. So yeah, there's college programs for boxing.
Nice. Well, before we get out of here, Corey, how can people, you know, reach out to you if they want to, you know, get in contact with you all regarding Brianna? And what's next for you as well?
Coming up in June, I have a Junior Olympics.
July?
Oh, okay. July, I have Junior Olympics coming up, and it's for the USA Boxing. It's the 7th through the 17th. Amateur boxing, it's a Junior Olympics. So it's kind of like the Olympics, but it's just...
Yeah, I did
Junior
that when I was in high school, so yeah. Weightlifting. So, yeah, now wish you best luck, and we will have you on either before or after, whichever.
Wait, Darren, how much is it going to cost for you to get in the ring with Darren? Because I want to see you beat Darren. I think you can do
Hold on, that's what I thought was going to happen.
I said, I'll ref. Because I'm not getting my face beat in.
Wait a second. Don't let this light skin fool you, Mr. Sterling. You know what I'm saying? Now, the one thing I will give my mother, she says she ain't raised. You know what I'm saying? Some punks, okay? So, you know what I'm saying? So I don't think I'm just going to let her come over here and whoop my ass.
I'm not saying you're going to let her. I'm saying she's gonna.
Oh, shoot.
That's all right. She ain't got to pay. I tell you, I will hire her to fight for me. You know what I'm saying? I'll hire her to come in there and get you, Shirley.
There's no lock on the door.
Corey, I can people reach out to you if they want to, you know, help sponsor, do anything as it relates to.
Oh, man, career. You can hit me up. My Facebook page, my business Facebook page is Against the Grain LLC. Same name, ATG Grind for Instagram. Courtney ATG Epperson Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, Brianna, I want to thank you so very much for your time. Thank you for coming in studio today. I'm pretty sure I'll run into your gates again sometime soon. I really do hope for it. And if they do something here in Kansas City, please make sure you reach out to me so I can come out.
Absolutely.
And we can come out and support and watch you perform. So, well, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick time out. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, Twitter and Facebook Live. Always loves him, Curtis Mayfield. I didn't have Move On
Up. Bro, you can't go wrong. We could just go out on this. That was great.
That was a lot of fun. Brianna, that's awesome. 12 years old.
12 years old.
All those accomplishments.
Look, man, here's the thing. I feel bad because we really didn't have time to go down the list of accomplishments. Because trust me when I tell you, I'll just read some more. 2019 state silver gloves champion, 2019 regional silver gloves champion, 2019 silver medalist in the national silver gloves tournament. And mind you now, I read 2018. This is 2019. 2019 bronze medalist USA Boxing National Championships. And then this year, she won the gold medal. So she's doing well on that. Plus, she was awarded the Children's Mercy Rising Star Award through the win for KC Nonprofit Organization. So she's got her head on straight. She's got a good household, a good father, good mother, doing everything. They're doing things the right way. And they're helping her accomplish her dream.
Yeah, great family. That's just – that's awesome. I mean, honestly, I would not be surprised if 2028 comes around. She's in the Olympics. That's her goal.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
No, she's there, and you know, I ain't gonna lie. She gets mixed to the Olympics, I'll be like, Corey, hook your boy up with a credential. I don't know where Skip's gonna be at in 2028. I need to look that up right quick. So just
is that
so
the
can,
one that's in the United States? Is in 2028?
28. That would be
Chicago.
Olympic.
Not Chicago. Look it up.
2020. Don't tell me what to do, man.
I'm telling you what to do, Darren.
Up right now. Sweet. It's in Los Angeles.
L.A., that's what it was. See, I told you.
Oh, L.A.
I told you. I knew it was USA.
Yeah, I just didn't know where.
Do want to give you a quick update. The Royals are up 5-1 over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim after beating them 3-2 last night with Salvador Perez throwing out a dude trying to scramble back to third. Great way to end the game.
Royals pitcher just hit somebody too, so they're up 5-1, bottom of the eighth inning.
Yeah,
top of the eighth.
Not want to get hit by Josh Staumont's. That was a 96 mile an hour heater.
I don't want to get hit by nobody throwing a baseball.
I don't want to get hit by that. That's gonna hurt. I do want to talk about, because we were laughing before the show. Jeff Fisher got a job in college football. If they played 16 games, they're going 7-9. Go ahead and just pencil them down.
Well, the good thing is he didn't play 16 games, but he's going to serve as an advisory role to the Tennessee State University football team. Of course, that's where Eddie George, is assigned on as the head coach over there. And so, of course, he's calling in some old chips. And look, if you're Jeff Fisher, you miss football as it is, granted. And, I mean – those HBCUs, they don't have the money to quote-unquote pay you, so that's why he's in an advisory position, so to speak. But as much flack as he has gotten, and deservedly so,
sure,
as a former head coach in the NFL, it is good to see him get an opportunity to at least get back into the game somehow, some way.
Yeah, sure. And at the end of the day, if you coach that long in the NFL, you obviously know what you're doing to an extent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know the game. You may not have had the most talent. You may not have been the best head coach. But that means if you're the 32nd best head coach in the NFL, that means you got, what, 31 dudes who are better than you. But don't get into semantics of some guys like Adam Gase who shouldn't have been a head coach to begin with. But that's just kind of the point. Hugh Jackson is now rumored to become a part of this coaching staff.
No. It's not rumored. He's accepted. He's going to be the offensive coordinator for Tennessee State.
I saw potential. So it's official?
Yeah. It was announced earlier today.
Wow. Hugh Jackson, Jeff Fisher, Eddie George. If you're a player, you want to go there.
Well, that or you want to go obviously to Jackson State. But this is a conversation, and we'll have more of it throughout the following days and weeks, obviously, about those type of NFL, former NFL greats going to HBCUs to get their start, to coach. I think that's a great move, obviously. You know, now, we had a coach, Lamar Parrish, who played in the NFL, played for the Cincinnati Bengals. He was a 9-time Pro Bowler. He should have been in the Hall of Fame because I think he's got more interceptions than Deion Sanders, I believe. So, but he's a GOAT. But
better case than Julian Edelman.
Damn right about that. Look, we really want to thank Brianna Epperson as well as her father, Corey Epperson, for coming to the studio today. Hopefully, Kansas City, you all got a chance to see this young lady either on the radio or you watched it online. Support her if you get an opportunity to. Sterling, we'll do this again tomorrow. I do want to talk about tonight's big game, Brooklyn against the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll talk about that tomorrow when we come in
the
studio.
Yeah, the Nets have everyone out. The Nets have KD, I think Harden, Aldridge.
I think Kyrie's playing though.
Okay, it's Kyrie versus Embiid.
I'm saying
everyone else is out.
I got Kyrie for a parlay, so that's why he better play tonight.
Everyone else is out, and just like this show, we got to go out. This was Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 15:10 a.m., 94.5 FM. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m.